We've been doing a series 2 weeks. We've taken a 2 week break from this series because we had grad. The grad season is kind of over. It's been a lot of fun throughout the time. We've gotten to celebrate things here. Phil and Jenny Gilardi Academy came and did their graduation here, and that was a lot of fun. There's been grads happening all over the valley, and so it's just good to be able to celebrate all that. So we took a 1 week break for grad. And then last week, Pastor George came and spoke to fathers, and then we had Dad's Fest. Who was at Dad's Fest last week? There was lots of hands there, no voices, but we had fun at Dad's Fest. If you missed it, basically we just ran around and went crazy, and the green team won. Who was on the green team? Pastor Ken gets a hand up. Pastor Ken was on the green team. The green team won, which means that they were the best tug-of-war-ers, Pictionary-ers, and four-legged racers. I don't know if you've seen a four-legged race, but you don't want to miss it if you ever get an opportunity. So we're back in this series on kingdom. Jesus talked about kingdom all the time. He talked about this one specific thing, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. He shared about it all the time. It was one of his favorite topics. He kept coming back and people would say, "Hey, Jesus, tell us about this." And he said, "Oh, well, the kingdom is like," and then he'd go ahead and tell a story and say, "Oh, yeah, but tell us about this other." Well, the kingdom, he answered lots of questions by talking about the kingdom of God. And so we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God for a few more weeks. Has anyone been enjoying their summer? It's been 1 week of summer now, just so you know. 1 week. But it has been cooking hot in that first week of summer. And I don't know how you enjoy that. We've had some fun. This last week was a pretty fun-filled week for my family. My brother came to town, and he came with his two kids. And one of those kids is my daughter's age. And we swam in the river. Has anyone swam in the river this year? Yeah, we swam in the river. Nana and Papa have gotten a pool now. So we went over and swam in the pool. We've had fun. We've had a patio pizza party, which basically means we ate pizza outside. We don't always name the events of our family, but sometimes we do. We had a patio pizza. We've had a barbecue this week. Like, lots of fun things have happened this week. I keep thinking of what my daughter must have had a lot of things that she would remember as this week, the first week of summer, this was a big week. But her favorite thing by far this week was that she got a new bed. Why do you say, ah? That's the thought that was so weird. She's like, literally, and it's not even a new bed. It's my wife's bed from when she was her age. And so we put this old bed into her room with not even a new mattress. And we put it all in her room, get it all set up. And she's jumping the whole time. She's so excited. She goes, "I got a new bed. I got a..." She's singing songs. She's making up songs about this thing. She goes, "Daddy, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. This is the best day ever." She literally said that. She literally said, "This is the best day ever." And I'm thinking, a dad probably should get his daughter a bed if he can, one way or another. Like, I don't have to take you to the river, and I don't have to take you swimming. We don't have to do a patio pizza party and name it. You know, we don't have to do all those things, but I probably should get you a bed. How is it that you're so excited about this bed? It was just a funny thing. Kids are good at receiving things, though, aren't they? Kids just like to receive things. It's not like she's looking at the bed and said, "Oh, Dad, I don't deserve this." That's so sweet, but that's too much, you know. She looks at me, her 3.5, almost 4-year-old face, and she's just like, "But you're not thinking about whether or not Dad can afford this bed or something. If Dad can do this, or if she's been a good enough girl." She just says, "I got a bed. Yes, I'll just take it. Whatever." And she started jumping on it. I said, "Don't jump on it." I turn around. She's jumping on it again. She's just so excited about this bed. Her brother's looking like, "Ah." And he jumps up on the bed. And he's like, "This is the best day ever, too. I don't know why, but Isabella's jumping on the bed. So I'm going to jump on the bed, and this is going to be the best." And I said, "Let me tell you a new nursery rhyme. No more monkeys jumping on. No. One fell off it. No." But the bed was this big deal. She just received the bed without ever, like, it was just the best thing she could have ever experienced. See, when kids receive something, it's kind of a simple process for them. It's like, I get it, and then I'm happy. Adults, we start to complicate things a little bit. We start to think that, well, if someone's going to give me something, I probably should do something for it. I probably should make sure that I follow through the proper steps. I don't want to have someone give me too much. Or we say things like, oh, it's too much. Or I'm not sure if I deserve this. I took out one time I took a student out for lunch when I was a youth pastor. We went out to Subway, and this student was a big student. He was a big guy, and I said, okay, order whatever you want. I'll get it for you. He goes, oh, no, I'm not going to get anything. What do you mean? You get whatever you want. I'll pay for it. Just get whatever you want. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I said, well, did you bring a lunch? No, I didn't bring a lunch. Do you normally eat lunch? Yeah, I normally eat lunch, but I don't need it. I'm not really hungry. I said, come on, I know you're hungry. I said, get whatever you want. So he goes and he orders, could I please get a 6-inch tuna? I'm like, 6-inch tuna? What are you going to do with a 6-inch? No one orders the tuna. I'm just kidding. Some people might order the tuna, and you feel sensitive about the tuna salad at Subway in here. But I thought, nobody orders the tuna, and you're a big guy. You don't order a 6-inch tuna. What are you doing? Here, I'm going to get you whatever you want. Seriously, I stopped the order. I said, he's not getting a 6-inch tuna. You tell me what you actually want. And he ordered off the most expensive. You know how they have the categorizing. He ordered off the most expensive, a foot and a half of the Chicken Bacon Club or something like that. Okay, I'll take 18 inches of the Chicken Bacon Club. I'm like, that's better. Now you're talking. Now you're getting what you actually want. See, we complicate things. I don't really deserve it. I want to be careful about how much you spend on me. Or I'm not really sure if I should do that or if I've been good enough. I think we learn over time how to be more complicated in how we receive things. I think even at Christmas time, at first kids are just excited to get gifts. And then later on they know that they're excited about gifts because now it means they're on the nice list. So they've been good enough, right? Like, at first it's like, give me gifts. It's exciting. Yeah. I'm just so happy I have gifts. And later on it's like, if you're good, you'll get this, and this. We complicate it. We make it more different. Now, are you good or not? How good are you? And which one gets more? And who gets the best? And are we all fair? And well, all of these things, we get complicated with everything. And sometimes we head into our faith that way, where Jesus has told us that he just wants to give us life and life to the full. And we've said, okay, but how good do I need to be for that? Okay, but what do I need to do about that? How do I need to accomplish that task? No, Jesus says, I've accomplished that task. Okay, I get it. I get it, Jesus, but I don't want you to become overworked for me. I want to know what I need to do so I can get what you have for me. We get into this mindset as if then we can create some sort of ownership that God would owe us something. When God just gives us something, then it's all on Him. If He owes us something, that's kind of on us. Say, I earned this religion. I earned this faith. Jesus had to give this to me because of all of the good things I did in my life. Isn't that so nice? I did that. You know what happens then? Then anyone who doesn't do all the good things, you say, you must not get faith. You must not get religion. You must not get Jesus Christ because you're not doing all the good things that I'm doing. But Jesus says, I want to give. Freely. I want to give freely. In Mark 10, 11 to 16, we have this story of the disciples. They've learned how to be good and what type of people, whether or not they knew it, they've decided what type of people should be in relationship with Jesus. And so here's what happens, Mark 10, 11 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. People were basically saying, hey, this guy's a prophet. This guy's pretty special. Let's have him pray for our kids. So they're bringing little kids to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples stopped it. When I picture this story, I picture the Secret Service around Jesus. The disciples have become the Secret Service. And there's a child left. You know, it's a child, 3 o'clock. go and deal with this kid. Stop, child. Don't touch this Jesus. Don't touch this Jesus, because there's a standard that if you want to get close to this Jesus, you have to be a certain person. They're thinking, well, if we have Jesus just hanging out with the kids, then maybe we're not going to be as legitimate of a thing. You know, maybe people might not recognize us as being pretty important because we are, because we're with Jesus. Maybe all of a sudden people are going to think that they're as good as we are. Or maybe people won't expect that Jesus is as powerful, because really kids aren't all that great of people. Like, do they even get who Jesus is? Do they even understand what he's offering to them? Do they even get this whole thing? Wait until they can understand it all. Wait until they can be good enough. Wait until they can accomplish all the things that we've accomplished. And here's Jesus' response. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That means angry. He was indignant. They set a standard. Whether the disciples knew it, they had set a standard and said, this is the standard by which you can come into Jesus' inner circle. I imagine Jesus looking at them and saying, hey, I want to know something. Why is it that you got to be in my inner circle before you met the standard, but no one else does? You didn't meet the standard, Peter. Matthew, you didn't meet the standard. I called you into my inner circle before you met the standard, before you were good enough, before you were great enough, before anyone recognized you as being accomplished, before you were anything special. You were in my inner circle. I pulled you in. So who are you to now set up what that circle is all about? Who are you to now set the standard in a new way? Who are you to now tell people what they can and can't do before they can come to me? He was indignant. So I can imagine, Peter, sit down. What are you doing? I'm going to take time with these kids. Whether or not they get it. Whether or not they've done the right things. Whether or not they've accomplished all of the steps of Christianity, I'm going to hang out with these kids. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still kids, while we didn't understand everything, while we weren't doing the right things, while we weren't quite accomplishing what we should be accomplishing in our faith, while we weren't praying the best prayers, while we weren't getting to church all of the time, while our lifestyle didn't necessarily line up with a biblical lifestyle, Jesus at that point decided that he was going to offer something to us that we could receive from him. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. He says, this actually is the prerequisite. Asking me. Coming to me. That's the prerequisite for relationship with me. Just come to me. I had an idea of this when we talk about receiving. I thought of football. And receivers in football, when the ball is in the air, it's not up to them to convince the quarterback whether or not he should throw the ball. The ball's in the air. All they have to decide is, am I going to catch it or not? Jesus has thrown the ball to every person that he's decided already. The ball's already in the air. The ball's already going to people. And people just need to decide, will I receive this or not? Will I take it in or not? It's not about whether or not they can convince Jesus to throw the ball or throw the salvation their way. It's been thrown. Will they receive it or not? That's it. Which means that we can't be the ones who decide, hey, sorry, Jesus, I just need to block that for a second. That receiver's not ready. Can you imagine a team doing that? Imagine the Seahawks doing that. Imagine, what they do instead is throw the ball when they should be handing it off. But you know, I don't know if it sounds like there are a few sports fans in here. That's good. I was never sure, so now I know. Rewrite next sermon. Okay, good. There's a story that Jesus one time told about the prodigal son, it's called. And there's this young guy. Everyone talks about the story about this young guy going away, and he takes all of his inheritance from his dad, basically slaps his dad in the face, leaves. His dad sends him away, sort of blesses him. The boy leaves, squanders all the money. He's living a terrible life, and he comes back, and he's decided, I'm going to go back to my dad and try to convince him that I can be good again, and he can give me a low level, and he can maybe make me a slave of his, because then I could at least have a room to live in, and I can make it up to him. I can do the right things. And if you know the story, he's walking back, and all of a sudden the father comes running out to him and says, "Son, you're home. You're home. I can't believe you're home. You came home." He says, "Okay, everybody, come on. Get him some new shoes. Put on the ring. Let him know that he's back in the family. Let him know that he's all that he's supposed to be in this very moment. There's nothing better that he could be. He's fully in right now." And they start walking back, and they turn on all the music. They get everything going, invite over all the neighbors. The party is taking place. And the older brother, who's been hanging out there ever since that boy left, who's been doing all the good work and who's been sticking by his father's side and has been doing all that he can to rightly deserve his inheritance, says, hey, what are we doing with this guy back here? I've been slaving away. Why is he back in the house?" And the father says, "This is what I do for my kids. It's not that I'm trying to do something for him that I wouldn't do for you." He would say to his son as well, If you left, and if you weren't doing as good of things, and if you weren't behaving the same way, and you came back, I'd do the same for you. Do the same for you." In Matthew 7:7-12, right after Jesus has been talking about judging others, he's been talking, this is one of his sermons with there's all these disciples around and all these people who want to follow Jesus. And he's been talking to them all about this. I want to talk to you about all of these important things. And then he says, "Now don't judge each other. Like, don't tell someone else they have a speck of sawdust in their eye when you've got a plank in your own eye. Don't do that. Just leave that alone." And then it seems like a strange place that he all of a sudden goes next. Doesn't seem to tie in. Matthew 7:7-12 says, "Now ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open." So Jesus has been talking about judgment, and then he goes back into this. And this is a scripture that we usually use to talk about prayer. Okay, if I'm going to pray for something, I'm just going to ask Jesus for what I need and believe. Okay, that's what he's saying here. But the focus may be a little bit different. "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" I like this. Like, is this a joking time? I could see him acting this out, right? He's turned around. So if someone asks you for bread, and he goes, "Here's a stone," you know, throws it out at the kid. The son's like, "Dad, I wanted bread." Okay. So which of you do that? Or how about this one? "If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake." Like, imagine that. "Hey, Dad, do you mind if I have a fish?" "Yeah, sure, son." "Here's a snake. Look at it, bite you." You know, like, what? Everyone knows that you wouldn't do that. "If you then," now here it is. Here's what Jesus, talking to his disciples and other people who want to follow him, says. "If you then, though you are evil." Whoa. That'd be like Jesus. That'd be like a guest speaker coming to our church right now. "Hello, all you evil people." You know. "Excuse me, actually, we go to church every week. Excuse me, actually, we do we do all of these things." No, Jesus re-identifies everyone, says, "Since you are evil, though you are evil, even though you are evil, my disciples, Matthew, even though you're evil, you know, my guys, my friends, James, you are evil." You know, this is what he's doing in this moment. "Even though you are evil. Even though you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And then he goes back to the judging piece. "So in everything, do it to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." So he's talking about judgment. And then he comes into this piece, ask and you will have, and seek you will find, and knock and the door will be opened, okay? And so do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's like, why are we talking about others and then God and then others? Here's why I think Jesus probably pieces that together in this way. He says, stop judging people, because if you ask, you will find, but also if they ask, they will find. Also, if the person who didn't like church a week ago and didn't like you because you were a Christian a week ago come up to Jesus and say, hey, can I have salvation? Yes, you can. You can have all the inheritance that I have for every single person who calls on my name, because I don't give because you've done good things. I don't give because of some specific set of rules that you follow. I give because you asked. That's it. And so you will receive. Kids get this, right? My son, every morning he wakes up. Now, I'd like him to give me a hug. He's a year and a half old. I'd like him to stop, give me a hug, maybe a little kiss. Spend some time, talk with me a little bit. How was your sleep, Dad? I'd like that. Though he only has about 4 words, but I'd like him to take a little time. Let's talk this out. How are we doing today? What are your plans for the day? How can we do something together? Let's spend some time. But instead, when he gets up, I get him from his bed. He's been bouncing in his bed. It seems to be a trend in our house, but he's in a crib. And he's bouncing in his crib. You can hear it smashing against the wall. And I go up there. I say, oh, hi, Hardy. How are you doing? Good to see you, son. He goes, muck. Muck. Which, once Kendall translated for me, I realize it's milk. So he wants a glass of milk. I'm like, okay, sure, son. Let's go get you a glass of milk. So how's your day going? Day. Kendall, I need a translation again. What is day? He wants a date. He likes, and I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. Father, son, date. We'll go out, hang out. You know, spend some time together, son. You know, I'll invest in, I have a lot of wisdom to give. And he's saying, no, he just loves dates. He loves eating dates. So the first two things he asked for in the day, milk and day. Milk and dates. And he doesn't even want to know how my sleep was. Doesn't even want to know how my day is going to be or what we can do together or anything. He doesn't want to know any of that because he knows that his dad wants to give him what he asks for. He knows that his dad is the one who's going to be able to give him the things that he needs. And so if it's milk and day, I'm going to give those to him because I know that he needs them. I know that he wants them. And since he's asking me, he's receiving from me. That's it. He doesn't have to do anything. And he knows it. And if I, who am evil, just so you know, I don't think of myself as evil on every day, but just going with what Jesus sort of said to a bunch of Christians, really. I, who am not good, who am not righteous other than through Jesus. If I can do that for my kid, wouldn't we expect that the Father of everything would do that for his kids? Both those who are in his family and those who want in. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. That's what the kingdom is all about. If you want it, he has it for you. If you want salvation, he has it for you. Don't keep it from someone else. Worship team, you can join me up here. I wrote down a question. Is God's gift of salvation what causes us to live the way we live? Or is it the way we live that causes God to give us the gift of salvation? What we decide about that is a pretty significant difference. Do we decide that God gives us salvation and grace and the kingdom? And then maybe once we receive that, probably our life will start to look a little bit different. Our actions might start to look a little bit different. As we just seek Him, we're going to become sort of different people. We're going to have different actions. We're going to carry out things in a different way. Or is it that we think that as long as I do all the things, then I can get the kingdom? Does the kingdom bring about life change, or does life change bring about the kingdom? Seek first the kingdom. So I was happy to have Isabella so excited about her bed. And to think about how that ties into the kingdom. And so I just want to note five things about that experience. And I think if someone could look at us and see the same five things about us and our salvation, about us and the kingdom, as I saw with Isabella and the bed, we'd be in a good place. First one is this. She was crazy joyful. crazy joyful. It was wild. She was literally jumping up and down. She's writing songs. She's singing out songs. Not always on key. She's dancing. She's bouncing on the bed. Daddy, this is the best day ever. When was the last time salvation did that in your heart? When was the last time you were sort of hyped up because you were saved? Just because Jesus has given you grace. Just because He has said, hey, no matter what you've done, just ask me. I'm there. I'm going to throw you the ball. The ball is in the air. Do you just want to catch it? You want to catch it? All of a sudden, I know when I was saved, I was broken at the front. I wasn't really a bad kid. I did lots of good things. I listened to my parents fairly well. But even in that place, just like Paul was, when you compare to Jesus Christ, you're like, man, I am so far off the mark. And I remember in that moment, me weeping in grade 8. Because Jesus said, I don't care what you've done. You ask, you will receive. You seek, you will find. You knock, the door will be open to you. Yeah, but I've already been there, God. Now I'm a few steps in, like the disciples. Now my job is to keep some people out. No. You seek, you find. You ask, you receive. You knock, the door will be open to you. You don't start faith that way and then it ends once you've made a decision and then you get to carry on and now you get to become a Pharisee. You start that way and you carry on that way. You're wondering about someone else's salvation. You're wondering about whether or not they're in or out or whether or not they're doing the right things. How about you ask and you receive. You seek and you find. You knock and the door will be open to you. The Lord will start to pour out into you because sometimes we're so concerned about looking at everyone else and wondering are they doing the right thing? Or what about, I'm not sure. And here we've missed the entire joy of the salvation in our own hearts. What if Izzy walked in, my daughter walked into Hardy's room and said, let me see, that crib's pretty nice. Oh, you might be deserving of another bed. I'm not sure. Well, should I let you have a sleepover in my room? I'm not 100% sure. She couldn't care less in that moment. She's just jumping on her bed saying, I got a new bed. I got a new bed. I've got a new bed. I've got a new bed. When we get to heaven, our relationship is with Jesus. Let's make sure we don't lose that for the sake of others. I hope we're doing a lot of things for the sake of others. But let's not lose our faith for the sake of others. Second thing, she never asked what would happen to her old bed. I'm hauling the bed out of her room, which is a one-hand kind of bed. Like it was getting kind of small on her. I'm hauling the bed out of her room, and she's not like, "What? I'm kind of gonna miss that bed. I wish I could try that bed out sometime still. You know, could I take some time and squish into that bed once in a while? Because that might make me feel comfortable and at home." No, she didn't, because she saw the new bed coming in. I want to tell you something. If right now you say, my life is okay, it's not exactly what I want, and I don't exactly feel so certain about my future and about what happens after I die and all of those things, but you know, I feel fairly comfortable. Let me tell you, when the kingdom starts to come in, when you start to welcome Him, when you start to seek and find and knock and have the door answered to you, that old life that you felt pretty comfortable in but not sure, you won't care what happens to it. You send it away. And you might think back on it, but then you think back to the new kingdom, the new thing, the new life that Jesus has poured into you. And it'll be good. That's why you have to keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Third one, she didn't sleep that night as if she was in her old bed. This was her position in the new bed. Starfish. She's like, why would I sleep in this big bed as if I'm in a small bed? I want to ask you today, does your salvation feel like it's filled up your life? Does your life feel fuller because you know Jesus Christ? Or have you said, I know Jesus Christ, which means I have all of this other stuff, but I'm going to just hide out in here as if nothing's changed. Sprawl out in your faith. Let your life be full. Have some adventures. Laugh a little bit more. Celebrate things that other people aren't celebrating. See things that other people can't see. Look in a new way at the world because the kingdom has come. And when we're stuck in this kingdom, we're limited to what everyone else is limited to. But when we know the kingdom of Jesus Christ that only comes through Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we get to see with a whole new set of eyes. We get to see things in a new way. Sprawl out in the new life that Jesus has given to you. The fourth one. She didn't wake up in the night. Before this time, she was waking up all the time in the night. Hi, Dad. 2 a.m. Isabella, you get back into bed right this second. Oh, Mom, can I have a show? Wants to watch a TV show. Like, yeah, I'm hungry. There's all through the night that was happening. And we could have said, Isabella, you go back to your room, sleep through the night. Once you've done that 10 times, we're going to get you a new bed. But instead we said, Isabella, we're going to get you a new bed. She slept through the night the first time. Isn't it amazing when we introduce the kingdom to someone, all of a sudden their life starts to change a little bit, probably more than it would ever change if we told them all the things that they were doing wrong and told them how to fix it so that they could get the new kingdom, the new bed. Fifth one, last one. Hardy wanted in on whatever it was she was so happy about. Hardy's like, oh, mook date, mook day, and then looks up at her. It's like, and this bed was harder to climb on. It's a little bit higher, but he was getting that leg up there. He was going to swing his way up there. He was going to get onto that bed because there was something going on in that bed. There was something exciting happening in that bed. There was song and dance in that bed. And I wonder if the world looks on at us and sees Jesus and some song and dance and some happiness and some joy in here, or if the world looks on and says, I can't fit there because I have to work too hard and I have to figure my whole life out first and I have to get sorted and do all of these things. I really hope and pray that we're moving in the direction that people would look in and say, I don't know what you got. I don't know what it's all about, but you're singing and you're dancing and you're happy and you're joyful, and I want to just come. I just want to come. I want to come and be part of it. I want to see that take place in this church. And it will. And it will. So we're going to do our best in this church to celebrate the fact that Jesus has saved us. Not to own that fact as if no one else gets it. Not to tell them all the things they need to change so they can fit it, but to look. If all of a sudden they walk up, they're asking. Isn't it cool that Jesus said, you ask and you will receive? Wouldn't it be nice if people asked, what is it that you've got? What is it that you've got? Sometimes it's not necessarily our priority to help people get it, but to help people want it. Because we don't have any control over who gets or doesn't get the kingdom, who will ask and who won't ask, who will seek Him and who won't seek Him. But we do have control over how much joy it fills our life with and how inspiring and exciting it seems to someone else. So today there's two people here. One group of people says, I don't know this excitement and this joy. And maybe today you say, I want it. Say, I want to turn from all of the other hopeless ways in my life, and I want to turn to Jesus and know the light. I want to stop trying to be fulfilled by everything else, and I want to start to know the fulfilling new life that Jesus brings. I want to turn that way. That's you today. We're going to have a prayer team come up to the front, and you can join them. Just say, it's time for me to experience that kind of joy. As Jesus says, while you were still sinners, that's when He died for you. Today, Jesus' grace says, I love you right where you're at. And for some of us, what we've decided is that faith has become a bunch of rules that we follow, and if no one else follows them, they don't get to come and be part of what we've got. And Jesus says, hey, those kids that don't get it, that don't understand it, probably can't even comprehend what full commitment looks like, let them come to me. Because when they seek me, they will find me. They will receive. Not only that, but but every single other person should pay attention, because we need to receive the kingdom that way or never enter it. Jesus, you lead us today. You show us. Search our hearts, Jesus. For those who don't know you, I pray that today would be the day that they get to know you, that they get to know what it's like to have their sins washed away, to stand before you white as snow, to be able to say, no one can hold anything against me because the kingdom has entered my life and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I asked and I received. And Jesus, I pray that as they do, they would live a fuller life that would allow more people to say, what do you have? Because I want it. For the rest of us, God, who already know you, I pray that we wouldn't hold that over people, but instead we'd say, Jesus, I want to seek you more, because there's got to be more. There's more for me. There's not just more for this world. There's not just more for my neighbor. There's not just more for that person who always sins and does the bad things. There's more for me. Let us be a church that seeks and receives Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and worship one song before we leave.